radio manufacturer presents your Radio Hall of Fame. Today, Philco Corporation brings you a special broadcast from the Warner Theater in Atlantic City on the occasion of the unveiling of the new Philco products of 1946 before an audience of Philco distributors from all over the world and their guests, GI veterans from Thomas M. England General Hospital. Presiding is the Dean of Modern American Music, Paul Whiteman, with the Radio Hall of Fame Orchestra and Chorus and our gracious singing star, Martha Tilton. Now your genial Radio Hall of Fame host, Paul Whiteman.
Today we swing wide the doors of the Radio Hall of Fame to admit one of the brightest stars of the stage, screen, and radio, the inimitable Milton Berle.
Yes, and we keep those doors open for one of the most beautiful ladies of the silver screen, Paulette Goddard. And right behind her is that roly-poly, rollicking, funny man, Joe Besser. And so, in typical Hall of Fame fashion, Paul Whiteman, the orchestra and chorus, salute our distinguished visitors with...
distributors assembled here from all over the world, I think it is appropriate to welcome into the Radio Hall of Fame the chairman of the board of directors of Philco Corporation, Mr. Larry E. Gubb.
Thank you, Paul. I'm sure our radio audience will catch something of the spirit of this first Philco peacetime convention. We feel our distributors have done a great job during the war period in rendering service to the users of Philco products, while our laboratories and factories were busy making their vital contributions to a victorious war in the production of airborne radar equipment. For many months, we have been looking forward to this day, which marks our return to civilian business. And in a few weeks, you will be able to see at your dealer's stores the great radio and refrigerator developments we are about to reveal to our distributor members of the Philco family. In the meantime, this occasion will serve as evidence of the progress we have made in the tasks of reconversion. And just as Philco contributed during the war years, so now we look forward to contributing to full employment and a prosperous peacetime economy in the years ahead. So on with the show. And I'm sure our radio audience welcomes the news that Philco peacetime products will soon be seen in the dealer stores again.
Ah, it's a rare privilege indeed to have this alumnus back with us here in the Radio Hall of Fame. Yes, a year ago, this young man capered from portal to portal and was a coast-to-coast smash. And so we have asked him to grace these halls once again. I'd like you to meet the Harlequin of Humor, star of Spring in Brazil, the author of the new bestseller, Out of My Trunk, ladies and gentlemen, Milton Berle.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
There's good news tonight.
Paul, you look good. You feel good?
I feel good.
You feel a little tired, though.
I'm tired.
Well, you should be. You've been breathing all day. But I want to tell you, folks, it's really great. It's great to be back on the Philco Hall of Fame. I was on once before, and I told a lot of jokes. Now they got me back to explain them. I love Atlantic City. It's so pretty down here, really. Especially at night when the piers and the concessions are lit up. You can see a lot of beautiful things on the boardwalk, but they're all with soldiers. Did you come in here for entertainment or revenge tonight? All right. You know, this I must tell you, the last time I was here, my girl, who weighs 300 pounds, won the beauty contest. She was voted Miss America and parts of Canada, too. Boy, it's so tough to get a room down here. I tried to check into the Jefferson Hotel, and the clerk told me it was so crowded, Jefferson was sleeping at the Claridge. But I finally got a beautiful room with indirect lighting, from the neon sign on the steel pier. You can say what you like. I'm very popular down here. I really am. I have a lot of fans, and on hot days, I sell them for a nickel apiece. I got a wonderful... Hot days, I sell them for a nickel apiece. I'm pitching, but you're not catching. Sorry to wake you up. I got a wonderful... Oh, I feel great that I did. I got a wonderful letter asking me to come down here, and I'll read it to you. It says, Dear Milton, I saw you in Spring of Brazil in Philadelphia, and we'd like to have you in Atlantic City. Signed, the Mayor of Philadelphia. And then he adds a P.S. P.S. As soon as you came out on the stage, everybody laughed. Look at the way he spelled laughed. L-E-F-T. Well, last night in Philadelphia at the theater, the business was great. This is the truth. I drew a line four blocks long. Then the manager made me go out and erase it. Paul Wideman. There must be people out there because I hear breathing. Paul saw the show, and he's really a great sport. I know him for years. All his money's tied up in cash. And he and I... Oh, look, isn't he cute? He and I, we have our cleaning done at the same place, Pimlico. And thank you very much. Thank you very much for the tip on the horse. He gave me a tip on a horse yesterday. I put $2 on the horse's nose. He ran as if he was balancing it. I don't mind losing on the races, but when the horse that I bet on comes over to the rail, looks at me, and starts singing Sentimental Journey, that's too much. But from now on, Paul, will you do me a favor? Just stick to directing the band. Will you do that for me? He's such a great band leader. But after all, what is there to being a band leader? All you have to do is to look good from back. I'll let you in on a little secret. Whiteman gets $10,000 a week. And what does he do? Waves a stick. $10,000 a week to wave a stick. I've got a brother who pushes a broom and all he gets is $30. Imagine $10,000 to wave a stick. That's what his sponsors pay him. I'll show you what I mean. Paul, will you wave that stick just once, please? That one note cost the sponsor $500. Imagine, $500. His sponsor only had a $1,000 bill, you see. Don't applaud. If you like it, just throw cigarettes. And then there is another band leader. There's Harry James. $15,000 a week. I don't make $1,500. I don't even make $500. I don't even make $400. $300. You know, it's a good thing this is only a half-hour program. That Harry James. He blew a horn and got Betty Grable. Betty Grable, that's Ovaltine's greatest enemy. Billy, he blew a horn and he got Betty Grable. The horn on my car couldn't even get Gravel Gertie. Thank you, thank you.
Milton,
go
have
on.
You met Martha Tilton?
Martha Tilton? Is she on this pro? Oh, she's beautiful. Where is she? I want to marry her. Where is she?
Hello, Milton.
Oh, hello, Martha. Oh, will you marry me, Martha?
No.
How do you like that? Tilton, Jilton, Milton. Sing, Martha.
Here's Martha's latest recording just released, The Last Time I Saw You.
Can I hope to hold you once more? What about me could have made you doubt me? Want to live without me, loving me? To me, darling, you were romance. Was the last time I saw you the last time? Or will you give love one more chance?
Paul, I was listening. Your music is grand. It's grand.
Thank you, Milton, but I'm a little peeved at you.
You're peeved, Paul, but why?
Well, I heard everything you said about me before.
But, Paul, I didn't mean it. I was just trying to be funny. I was just trying to get some laughs.
Well, what happened?
Now, that's a fine way to talk to me, Paul. How dare you? I come all the way to Atlantic City.
Oh, wait a minute. Don't,
now, now, don't tell me. I'll argue with you. You don't have to argue.
Now, wait a minute. Paul, Milton, just a minute. What are you arguing about?
Well, Glenn, Paul hurt me. He hurt me deeply.
Oh, Milton, don't carry on like this.
Well, I'm carrying on because he hurt me.
I know, but after all, we're expecting Paulette Goddard, and you don't want her
Paulette
to think...
Goddard?
Yes.
She's going to be here?
Yes, she'll be here.
Glenn, I've been in love with that woman for years.
Are you kidding?
No, it's the truth. All I do, Glenn, is think of a night and day. I don't know what to do. Where shall I turn? What should I say? Signed, anxious. Glenn, believe me, I'm so unlucky with women. No matter what girl I ask out, some guy always comes along and all he has to do is whistle and there goes my date.
Well, Milton, why don't you try whistling?
I did. I did once.
Well, did you get anything?
3 Scotch Terriers, 2 poodles, and a tsitsi fly. See?
When Paulette Goddard gets here, you tell her just how you feel about it.
But I can't do that, Glenn. I can't because I haven't got the nerve.
Oh, well, that's the trouble with you, Milton.
What?
You've got to remember to milk your situations. Be firm. Be strong. Take the bull by the horns.
You'll never get milked that way, brother. No, not that way. Look, whenever I try to make a date with a girl, Glenn, they all run away from me.
Well, Milton, the only hope for you when you go out
is
to take a homely-looking fellow along, and then, in comparison, you'll look good.
Well, that's a wonderful idea. All I have to do is take along a guy that's homelier than myself.
That's right.
I wonder what Boris Karloff is doing these days. Or maybe you.
Oh, now that's gratitude for you. I love you like a brother, advise you like a father, cater to you like a rich uncle. And how do you treat me?
Like John's other wife.
Oh, now, just a minute, Milton. I've got an idea.
What's that?
I saw somebody in the hall that might be just the man for you. Shall I get him?
Sure, certainly. Bring him in. Boy, if this fella's awful enough, I'll look like Van Johnson alongside of him.
All right, come in. Come in. Will you please come in? Don't rush me!
How are you?
Stop pushing!
Joe Besser, don't tell me that you're the one that Glenn Riggs had in mind.
Why, certainly you're crazy, you! Crazy.
All right, Besser.
Oh, I hate that Glenn Riggs.
You hate Glenn Riggs?
Yes, he's such an Oliver Twist. He's such a David Copperfield. He's such a tale of two cities.
Besser, what are you saying?
Oh, I'm giving him the Dickens.
Will you forget about Glenn Riggs, Besser? I want to know how you make out with women.
Well, the other night I went over to my girl's house.
Did you?
Yeah, and I brought her a box of chocolate.
Yeah.
And pretty soon, she turned the lights down low.
She turned the lights down low?
Yes.
And then what happened then?
I ate the chocolate! You're such a dubious!
Oh, I see. You like women, I gather.
No, I like women, I gather! Oh, sometimes... Oh.
But the trouble with you, Bessie, you don't even know how to kiss a girl.
Oh, I do, too.
No, you don't.
I do, too.
You don't give her that effervescent, ebullient, cardiovascular palpitation.
Oh, what you said! Oh, shut up! You wouldn't like me said it to you.
What? You're worse than I am. If you want to make a hit with girls, you should get new clothes. For summer, for instance, you should get tweeds and twills.
What?
Look, Joe, don't you ever go for any twills?
Only when I ride on a roller coaster.
Professor, I'm going to take you along on my date tonight, huh?
Yeah.
All right. But you know nothing about making love.
Oh, no.
No, you don't.
Well, did you ever see Joseph Cotton making love to Claudia Colbert?
Yes.
Did you ever see Walter Pidgeon making love to Greer Garson?
Yes, I did.
Did you ever see Charles Boyer making love to Hedy Lamarr?
Yes, Besser, I watched them all.
Oh, you're such a nosy!
Oh, get out of here. That Besser. Everything happens to me.
Milton.
Yes.
Miss Goddard is here. She's here.
She is? Okay.
Yes, introduce her, Milton.
Oh, I'm so nervous. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to introduce to you that lovely lady of the screen, the star of that new picture, Diary of a Chambermaid, the very, very beautiful Miss Paulette Goddard.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Milton.
See, Paulette, it's seeing you great again to be here at the Radio Fall of Hame. I mean, I was talking to Paulette Whiteman, and he told me that Paul Goddard was
Milton, what's the matter with you?
Well, it's kind of hard to read and drool at the same time. Paula, tell me, how does it feel to be back in Atlantic City again?
Oh, it's always wonderful to get back to Atlantic City again and see all the old places, the boardwalk, meet my old friends. Well, you don't have to ask me. Can't you see it in my face? Milton, you're not paying any attention to me.
Pardon me, what was that you said again?
I said, can't you see it in my face?
Oh, you have a face, too. Oh, excuse me, I didn't...
No, Milton, you're not looking well.
I'm looking as well as I can. I wish I had my glasses. Paulette, let me ask you something. We've been friends for years, haven't we?
Yes, Milton.
And there isn't anything that you wouldn't do for a friend, is there?
No, there isn't anything I wouldn't do for a friend.
Well, then, how about giving me a big kiss?
Pardon me, stranger.
Now, please, Paulette, I have admired you for some time. I don't know how to say this. I want to ask you something.
Well, go ahead, Milton.
Well, Paulette, you see, I hope... how are you feeling?
Well, I'm feeling fine. I'm in a very happy frame of mind.
I don't know exactly what mind you're in, but you're certainly in a wonderful frame. To me, Paulette, you're my kith and kin.
Kith and kin?
Yes.
I don't understand.
Well, I'd like to kiss you if I can. I said it, and I'm glad. Look, look, Paulette, if you're not doing anything after the show tonight down here in Atlantic City, how about you and I, you and me getting married? Huh?
Married?
Yeah, well,
Milton,
sure, how about it? Please, I'd be putty in your hands.
I'll let you know when I have some windows to fix.
Oh, please, Paula, why can't you marry me?
Because I'm not in love with you.
Now, that's a fine way to talk. I could get any girl that I want. If I want to, I could marry Betty Grable.
Uh-oh, are you forgetting Harry James?
Well, then I could marry Rita Hayworth.
Remember Orson Welles.
What do you hear from Lassie these days? Paulette, I don't know why you don't go for me, because after all, I am the romantic type.
Romantic? Are you kidding? You're a comedian. Comedians are never romantic.
You don't understand, Paulette. I don't want to be a comedian. I want to be romantic. I want to be a dramatic actor.
You do?
Natalie, I do.
Well, I think you've got something there, Milton. After all, where would Helen Hayes be without dramatic talent? Where would Catherine Cornell be? Why, where would I be if I didn't have dramatic talent?
The defense rests. Yes. Yes, sir.
No. You don't understand, Milton. A good actress can convey whole paragraphs with a glance. Well, Bette Davis says things with a wink of her eye. Greer Garson says things with a crinkle of her nose.
That Lana Turner's pretty talkative, too. Don't you think?
Milton, have you ever made any pictures?
Have I? Did you see Frenchman's Creek?
I saw that picture, but I didn't see you.
Well, you know where I was, and without a paddle, too. Paulette, isn't there any part in your next picture that I could play?
Well, Milton, there are a few parts open in my next picture.
There is?
Yes, and one of them will fit you to a T.
Oh, really? Oh, that's good.
Of course, it requires a good actor. For instance, one of the parts that's open is that of a Frenchman.
A Frenchman? Oh, j'ai le temps de le copier, le temps de le copier, le temps de le copier.
In French, that means have a Coke.
Milton,
yes.
That's not the part.
That's not the part?
No, but one of the other parts is a Russian.
Oh, Russia. I will never forget my home in Minsk, near Pinsk, by the Sinsk River.
Pardon me, do you have an umbrella?
Milton.
Yes?
That's not the part.
That's not the part?
No, there's also a prop horse in the picture.
A prop horse?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's fine. That's good. Give me the head.
Milton, that's not the part.
It's now and then time in the Radio Hall of Fame.
Yes, I want to tell you, now and then always fascinates me, Paul. It brings back so many fond memories. What is it today?
Crinoline Days, Milton.
Ah, Crinoline Days, by that great American composer, Irving Berlin.
Milton, you amaze me with your knowledge of music.
Surprised, eh? Why, Paul, without me, Sousa wouldn't be worth a sou. Wagner wouldn't be worth a wag, and Damrosch wouldn't be worth... You didn't think I knew, did you?
And I suppose you're going to tell me you're familiar with Shostakovich's Seventh.
Was it a boy or a girl? Just a Shostakovich small by a Rothenfels.
Milton, never mind that. Let's see how familiar you are with Crinoline Days as we played it from the stage at the Palace in 1922.
Well, go ahead, Paul. I'm listening.
Thank you.
certainly takes you back, Paul. These famous hits of other years. How about reaching into your musical memory book for the 1930 chapter?
Okay, Glenn, and what'll you have?
Well, Paul, 15 years ago, Philco held another historic convention. It started Philco on an unbroken record of radio leadership that's lasted till now. Give us a tune to bring back the spirit of 1930.
Right, Glenn, 1930 coming up. Something to remember Philco by, with the hit tune We Remember It By. Ah, yes, something to remember you by, and something to remember those great Philco radios by. Both of them hits in 1930, Glenn.
And hits ever since, Paul. With this victory convention now, Philco is on the march again, resuming its unbroken record of leadership. And now, we present the first new Philco radio phonograph in 4 years. A radio that rightfully takes its place in the Radio Hall of Fame. The greatest radio phonograph ever built. Listen as it plays the immortal Rhapsody in Blue. Just heard is the first public performance of a great new 1946 Philco radio phonograph.
Glenn, I heard that great new Philco a few weeks ago, and take it from me, folks, it's the finest reproduction of recorded music I've ever heard.
Yes, friends, Philco is back in business. The new Philco radios are in production, and your Philco dealer's theme song is...
Milton Berle, Paulette Goddard, and Joe Besser, and our thanks for lending the gay enchantment of your mirth to this special celebration of your Radio Hall of Fame. Here with us in the audience are men who have paid a debt for victory that none of us can equal. These GIs did it the hard way, in Okinawa and Salerno, and all the other battlefronts where the only currency you could spend was courage. The victory loan started last Monday. You and me and every living American must get behind this victory alone so that these lads, who've given so much that our liberties may survive, can find that better world for which they fought. We can honor their honor in no better way. Next week, your Radio Hall of Fame salutes Oscar Levant, that gifted master of melody and wit. With us, as usual, will be Martha Tilton, the Radio Hall of Fame orchestra and chorus, and yours most sincerely, Paul Whiteman.
Don't miss Philco's other program, The Breakfast Club, with Don McNeil, Monday to Friday, over these same stations. This is the American Broadcasting Company.